The foundation of our subjective truth rests upon belief, and belief itself leans upon validation. We rarely believe in isolation. We believe because voices echo our convictions, because repetition turns fragile words into apparent stone. Even falsehood, spoken often enough and affirmed by enough companions, can acquire the weight of truth. It feels solid, it feels certain, and so we act as though it were real, moving our lives in accordance with it. But foundations built upon illusion can only hold so long. When they crack, the collapse is not gentle. It is sudden, disorienting, even devastating. The echo of belief. Belief does not grow in silence, it grows in chorus. A thought repeated becomes a conviction repeated becomes a truth. We take comfort in hearing others affirm what we already suspect or desire to be true. The human mind is not a solitary instrument, it is a chamber that vibrates with echoes. Each reassurance, each nod of agreement, each repetition by another voice deepens the resonance. Like a cathedral where a single note lingers, belief resounds long after its first utterance. The walls of culture, tradition, and community return it to us until it feels larger than its source. The echo is mistaken for proof. The repetition is mistaken for reality. Even lies can wear the garments of truth when clothed in enough voices. We know this, and yet we remain susceptible. It is not always ignorance or weakness that binds us, but the deep human hunger for belonging. To doubt what everyone else affirms feels like exile, and exile is hard to bear. So the echo becomes a shelter. It protects us from the silence of uncertainty. It offers the warmth of companionship. I believe, and so do they. We cannot all be wrong. This is the strange alchemy of collective belief, the transformation of doubt into certainty by nothing more than repetition. It does not matter whether the note is pure or distorted. What matters is that it continues to sound. And so the lie does not only deceive, it comforts, it enfolds. It gives us a place in the collective rhythm. We may sense its fracture, but we bury that suspicion under the weight of the crowd's certainty. What matters, we tell ourselves, is that we are not alone in believing. The shattering yet echoes, however powerful, cannot hold forever. There comes a moment when the note falters, when the resonance reveals its hollowness. The belief we carried, so deeply entwined with our identity, our choices, our place among others, suddenly fractures. The experience is not gentle. It is disorienting, even violent. To see that what we trusted was built on illusion can feel like the ground itself dissolving beneath our feet. The mind bends beneath the revelation. The heart struggles to keep pace. For some, the collapse arrives slowly, a creeping accumulation of doubts that can no longer be suppressed. For others, it comes in an instant, a single undeniable fact, a betrayal, a moment of clarity that strikes like lightning. However it comes, the effect is the same. The world no longer fits the frame we had constructed. This is why false belief wounds so deeply. It is not only the lie itself that cuts us, but the realization that we built upon it. Every action, every word, every step taken under its spell becomes suspect in hindsight. We are forced to ask, who was I, moving under that illusion? What does it mean now that the veil has lifted? And the pain is not only intellectual, it is existential. To lose a belief is to lose a world. The real betrayal. The collapse of belief is not the final betrayal. It is, in truth, only the beginning. To have believed a lie is not itself a moral failing. It is a human condition. We are born into cultures already woven with illusions, inherit stories already half true, and receive words already bent by the limits of language and perspective. To believe wrongly is not shameful. It is inevitable. The greater test comes after the unveiling. When the veil is lifted, the question is not merely what have I believed, but what will I now do with this knowledge? The moment of revelation is also the moment of decision. Integrity is measured not by the beliefs we once held, but by the actions we choose once their falsity is revealed. Here lies the sharper edge of betrayal. To recognize falsehood and yet continue as though it were truth, that is the deeper failure. To refuse the work of correction, to defend pride at the expense of honesty, to cling to illusion because letting go feels too costly. This is why betrayal of self often appears so quiet, so ordinary. It does not always look like active deceit or violence. Sometimes it looks like passivity, like silence, like the stubborn comfort of not wanting to know more. The images of a house collapsing. At first we mourn the loss, the dust rising around us, the sudden exposure to sky where once there was a ceiling. But the deeper danger comes when we keep pretending the house still stands, when we continue to walk through its ruins as though the walls were still solid, as though the roof still sheltered us. We risk being crushed not by the initial collapse, but by our refusal to accept that collapse has already happened. Or picture a mirror shattering. The illusion is broken, the fragments scattered. To keep staring into the shards and pretending they still hold a whole reflection is to wound ourselves again and again on their edges. The betrayal is not in having believed. It is in refusing to let the fragments teach us. It is in choosing denial over truth and pride over integrity. For the only true betrayal of the self is not in having once been deceived. It is in knowing the truth and yet choosing to live as if the deception were still real. Hope and redemption. If the unveiling of falsehood is a collapse, then integrity is the work of rebuilding. The first step is rarely dramatic. It is a quiet admission, sometimes only to oneself, that we were wrong. That whisper of honesty is already courage because it chooses truth over pride. Integrity after illusion is not just a matter of knowing better. It is the posture of humility that allows us to live differently because we now know better. This work is concrete. In relationships, integrity means apologizing without conditions and listening without the shield of defensiveness. Trust is not restored by grand gestures, but by small, consistent acts. Showing up when we say we will, correcting our words when they overreach, choosing transparency where we once hid. Repair is a rhythm before it becomes a result. In society, integrity means refusing to repeat claims we know to be false, even if silence costs us approval or belonging. It is the choice to place honesty above the ease of a popular narrative, to let evidence revise our loyalties, and to value the common good over the comfort of our in-group. Sometimes it is as simple and as difficult as saying, "I was wrong," in the same public square where we once spoke with certainty. In our inner life, integrity means re-examining the stories we tell about ourselves. We ask not only what do I believe, but why do I believe it, and what does it make me do? We allow cherished assumptions to die when their fruit is bitterness. We let grief do its patient work so that understanding has honest soil in which to grow. This is slow work, pruning habits of thought, relearning how to recognize the tug of belonging, and choosing alignment with reality over the relief of old echoes. Hope enters precisely here, not as a guarantee, but as a possibility that we choose again and again. To face deception without surrendering to cynicism is itself an act of faith. Though I was misled, I am not beyond repair. Though the ground gave way, I can stand again. Despair will argue for the final word. If I was deceived, nothing is trustworthy. If I was mistaken, nothing can be redeemed. But despair is only another illusion, another chorus that asks us to stop the work. Redemption is not found in never having been wrong. It is found in refusing to abandon the work of becoming right. A small fidelity to truth. We began with belief and validation, with the echo that can turn a fragile thought into apparent stone. We saw how repetition can dress falsehood in the garments of truth, how the collapse of such belief can feel like the ground giving way, and how the deeper betrayal is not that we once believed, but that we might refuse to act when the veil is lifted. What remains is not despair, but decision. Integrity is a practice, not a pose. To live after illusion is to rebuild on firmer ground. To let evidence revise our loyalties, to let apology restore relationship, to let humility govern our next steps. We will not always get this right. The point is not to become unerring, but to become honest, more able to tell the truth about what is, and more willing to repair what our errors have bent. The echo of belonging will still call to us. So will the comfort of old certainties. Our task is to belong to truth more than to the chorus that flatters us. This is the quiet courage the moment asks of us, to admit what failed, to make amends where we can, to refuse the paralysis of shame and the narcotic of cynicism. If hope is to be more than a slogan, it must be exercised in small, persistent acts, checking a claim before we share it, choosing precision over performance, meeting the person we wronged with plain words and open hands. In time, these modest fidelities become a life that can bear weight, listen, admit, repair.